Welcome back to Teach to Quit Talk. We're here for one of my favorite episode types. This is hater time, where we just talk about things we hate. You tell us what coworkers you hate, what bosses you hate, what customers you hate. We just hate and hate. And this is a very positively timed episode because I have a lot of hate in my heart right now. So much. I'm like bursting with hate. Like, you know how people say when they have their baby and they look at their baby, they're like, I feel love like bursting out of me. That's what I feel, but hate right now. And nothing is even that bad. I'm going to lay it all out on the table here. I really am. If I get fired because of my digital footprint this week, so be it. I really hope I don't get fired, though. That would really not be chill. So let me tell you why I'm hating right now. And I'll give my little disclaimer. I know it's no one person's fault. We're all trying our best. I'm not going to hurt anyone. This is just me venting. So this is, buckle in. Everyone sit down. My district uses Canvas. Cool, fine. It's not my favorite, not my least favorite. I'm cool with Canvas. Canvas is cool with me. The problem is that our rosters are split in a very strange way. So if I have kids on my roster that have the gifted notation on them, even though my course is not a gifted course, they are put onto a separate roster in a separate grade book. Normally, it's not that much of a problem because for attendance, they're all in the same place. And when you put in grades, it's like, it's a little inconvenient, but it's not that bad. When it becomes a problem is when you go to use Canvas, because when I open Canvas, there are four different classes for my first period. So that means I can't use any of the collaboration features on Canvas. And then just like for my own personal things, I have to post every assignment four times. I have to post every deadline four times. Like, it's just very inefficient. So thankfully, Canvas is actually pretty good. You can merge your classes together. So I can like take those four and shove them all in one so that they can like talk to each other and we can be all great. For some reason, you have a limited window to do that. No one has been able to explain to me why it's not just open to merge whenever. The window was supposed to start... Today's September 4th. The window was supposed to start September 2nd. That is almost a month into school. And a lot of teachers use Canvas when it's all split up. I don't, because if a kid turns something in and then they get merged into a different class, their assignment disappears. And I like to be very organized and have my paper trail for everything. So what I do is I just do everything paper-based until I can merge Canvas, and then we just go from there. So it's like the first 2-3 weeks of school, we're all getting in the groove anyway, so like it's not that serious. But it was like starting to get really annoying. Like, it was getting to the point that like now I'm pretty far in my curriculum, and I was like, I just need my things. And so the window to merge was supposed to open on Monday. So and Monday was Labor Day, so we didn't go to school. So I was like, cool, I'll give my kids a very like arts and crafts style project on Tuesday so they can work on Tuesday, and I'll spend all day getting Canvas set up. And then I told my students, like, if you have late work, it needs to be in by Friday. It'll all be on Canvas. Like, you'll come to school on Tuesday and your Canvas will be all nice and pretty for you and have everything you need. Like, I promised so much. And then on Tuesday, I go in to merge and the button's not there. So I message Canvas. And yeah, literally like my entire life is planning on this being done. Like I just mentioned, I have lessons planned, I have projects planned, I have everything ready to go. So I message the Canvas support people, who are great. We love them. They're very helpful. They've been helpful every time I've come to them. And they said, your district told us to open the window on the 7th. Can you please inform them? I'm sure a lot of teachers are going to be confused. And I was like, I'll get right on that. I will roger that. And I will go Paul Revere myself through this county and tell everyone. That'll be perfect. So then I email someone at the district office who oversees this. I don't want to say their title. It's related to this. This is very much their problem. So I email this person and I tell them what I just told you with screenshots. Hey, your email blast, your newsletter, your website, literally everything says the 2nd, but these people are telling me the 7th. That like kind of is a problem. And she literally replies, sorry, we had a change at the district office, so we had to delay it. So what possibly happened? What could have because it was already bad and weird and you were already 3 weeks into the school year. So what? So it gets better. So I reply to her and I said, okay, should I plan on it being functional by the 7th then? Is that our new date? She replies and said, yes, exactly. Our goal is to have it done by Monday. So I respectfully replied to her and said, well, Monday is September 9th. So what date should I expect it to be working by? And she didn't reply. So that is my contribution. I will say, by the time I sent that email, it was like noon. So I'm not that mad because it was today. So I'm like, if she doesn't reply by tomorrow, I'll be mad. But that is my hater time for the day. And I think it's just so crazy that we live in a world where teachers deal with this. But the fact that, like, I'm required to turn in lesson plans in advance when things like this happen on a pretty frequent basis. Like today, that's why I didn't answer your text message yesterday or today, because like I've just been like pivoting and figuring out like reformatting things because we were going to do this online, but now we have to do it on paper. So now I got to print it out. Now I got to make the copies. Like I'm pivoting and it's fine, but it was just like the callousness that it was presented to me as like, oh, we had to make this little change. Like that does not affect thousands of people. There are thousands of students that are being affected by this. And like you expect teachers to use the technology and all these things, but then you don't set them up to be successful with it. And even like everything I just mentioned, the fact that I have to go in and merge and that I have two grade books and all these things, it's just like, that's why I have so much hate in my heart this week, because it just feels nasty. Like it feels nasty to be like in this situation.
Yes, well, it is. And like we talked about how teachers are not always regarded as professionals. And that is a great example of the district office doing what we say the district office does. Like, why are you thinking that you can just change all of these plans and that it's going to be fine? It's not going to be fine. Like, we have stuff going on. And I bet there are schools that have you turning in lesson plans too. And it's like, so if I turned in my lesson plans, surprise, just kidding. Like, that's not appropriate.
Exactly. And like the thing that got me was the lack of communication about it, because I highly doubt I was the first person to figure this out. Like I bet y'all knew, because you said there was a change. So my question is, y'all send us emails all the time. Why was one of them not red alert emergency, our deepest apologies, this is changing? Even if it was the Friday before, just the fact that, and even now still, the website I was telling you with like our little announcements, it's still wrong on there. So like that's you're going to let all these other teachers go through what I went through and have to send multiple emails and try and figure out, is it me? Do I restart my computer? And like, you can't expect people to do that. You just can't.
The interesting thing is they do expect you to change things on a dime like that. And they shouldn't. Oh, yeah, that's a really good hater time. I actually hater them too. So have we done a We Hate Your Coworkers public-facing episode before, or has it always been We Hate Your Coworkers on Patreon?
I can't remember. I thought we only let Patreon people submit, but we still posted it publicly. I can't remember, though.
I do not even recall. But if you are not on Patreon and this makes no sense to you, this is one of the things that we do there that I decided, you know what? Today is the day. I love the nerd's rope.
They're so good.
It's so good.
I would buy a 30-foot nerd's rope and lay on the couch with it wrapped around my body and eat my way through it.
Honestly, nerd's clusters is a game changer in the candy industry. They revolutionized the game.
They did. And the only reason I have nerd's rope is because I meant to order nerd's clusters and selected the wrong one.
Understood.
But, like, I'm going to eat it. Like, it's obviously.
Of course. But of course. I feel like my hater time is the kind that's for the girlies who've never gotten over anything in their life. And I know for a fact that
real.
If my coworkers listen to this, they're going to be like, can you shut the fuck up? It's been 5 years. I'm not over it yet, you guys. I've told this story on this podcast as well, so all of you are going to get it. But I am not over that principal that one told me that the reason a child threw the scissors at the wall and they stuck in the fucking wall is because I didn't teach them how to use scissors. That is not why that child threw those scissors at another student's head and they were whipped so hard they stuck in the wall. I'm so sorry.
That was one of my favorites. That was a good one.
Next thing she said that I hated. She also was so mean to me every day of my life. But she's mean to me and nice to everybody else. Like, sugary, sweet, nice to everyone, and such a bitch to me. And people would literally be like, I actually don't know what's wrong with her. Actually, in my interview, I said this community because I didn't live there. And she cut me off and said, our community. You're othering students if you say this community. And I was like, I don't live here, but okay.
You're like, I haven't been hired yet.
Yeah,
so.
I'm not part of this community. And I did say that.
You're like, I'm literally wearing a visitor pass right now.
Hello. And then the other thing this principal did was I got in such hot water because there was a survey that went out every year saying, like, it was basically like asking how you felt about the school. And she 2 years in a row held a giant meeting where she yelled at all of us because we said we wouldn't send our children to the school. It was the charter school that I worked at, and the days were 7:15 to 4:15, so they were just so long. I taught kindergarten, very academically rigorous, like not developmentally appropriate in my opinion, and she got on our ass and said, how can you come to school every single day and say that you are giving your all? How would you feel if you were a parent and this teacher said they wouldn't send their kids to that school? So I quit.
And like, there's so many factors about your child's school. Like, I have also been in a meeting where I got yelled at about that, and I felt like the extra kicker is that I don't have kids.
I didn't have children at the time, so it was vastly
different. So I was like,
I don't know.
I was like, oh, if I had kids, I would, yeah, no, here doesn't seem right. That seems off. Like, I was, what do you want me to say? Like, they don't exist. Like, new answer. It only works if you don't have kids and someone asks you this. You just say, I'd have to meet the kid. I don't know.
It's totally valid. She was so mean. And that's not the only thing. But anyway, oh, she was also the principal that I had a student try to jump off of the balcony. And I like lightly like guided his body back to the steps. And she was like, don't ever do that again. And I was like, you're going to have to fire me before I let a child jump off of the third story balcony. I'm so sorry.
That happened to a friend of mine. And I think we've gotten it as a submission. Like, there's been multiple teachers to rescue children from literally falling to their demise who then get reprimanded for it.
Like, I'm sorry, go for it. Anyway, I would go into my next interview being like, I would love to tell you why I got fired from my last job. You see, a child was about to die.
I saved a life.
I saved them. Anyway,
you bring like a Bluetooth speaker that's like playing the Grey's Anatomy music.
Right. Do I have the lyrics printed out on a sheet?
Please don't play with me right now. You know what? I'm actually so glad you said that because that really put my hater time in perspective. Things could be so much worse.
They were worse.
Things could be so much worse. You know what? Yeah, at least now I can make my own copies and no one gives me How to Save a Life printed out, single-sided, font size 18.
I think we're 100 episodes in this episode. I think we can just stop going back and referring to our little inside jokes. Like, I'm never going to explain the art card again. I'm never going to explain How to Save a Life. You have to go find it.
No, like, you have to find it. It's in there.
We've never gotten more Patreon submissions than this.
All right. So, one coworker yelled at me for letting my kids take the class set of graphing calculators to their AP exam. I wrote all their names down and got them all back. Another berated me over email for letting a kid finish his test for my class during hers. Second teacher, who also leaves very passive-aggressive notes on the copier, quote, taking paper out of the rooms and not putting it in the copier is rude and thoughtless as it warps the paper.
My God, people are dying, Kim.
Literally, like, if warped copy paper is your school's biggest issue, next caller. Next caller. Your paper is warped. You know what that means? You have fucking paper. Some people don't have paper.
If that was a color printer that they were bitching about, warped paper coming out of, I'm coming over there. Put me on the phone. Like,
have some compassion. Also, speaking of printers, I know the situation of why this happened. That doesn't make it less comical. Right now, the copier at my school that we can only print on in black and white has a printed in color sign that says out of order.
Incredible.
Like, I know it's because the administrator just hit Control P and that's the printer that they have just happens to be in color. But I was like, it's still really funny.
It tells a story, doesn't it?
But and like, OK, I will grant, because it's hater time, I'll hate on myself. all the times I complained about not being able to print in color, I can. I didn't know we could do that. It's like a special computer in the back of the library. Because like all the kid computers, you have to pay to print in color. I didn't know that we had like a elite secret computer. And apparently it's just like, don't be rude about it. Like, don't go in there and print like 900 pages. It's just like kind of an honor system. Okay, this is a long one. This story is about a teacher I worked with when it was my first year teaching. This woman, let's call her Debbie, was one of the worst people to know to work with, and I still think of things she would do or say as a seventh year teacher and shudder. Let me paint a picture for you to better understand the person I was working with. This woman was jacked from working out every single day and only ate a raw vegetable diet. One time I brought a really bland lunch, and when I asked her if maybe she had salt, she instantly replied, "No, I don't eat salt. I thought you needed salt to live, but okay, thanks." Multiple conversations were had while she was just eating an entire cucumber or carrot and making all of what happened even more insane. I, unfortunately, so far am obsessed with her. That is something that is my cross to bear, not yours, but I want to be her. Anyway, when food was in the lunchroom for teachers, she would grab a piece of cake or pizza and put it on her desk and say, "I'm not eating it. I just want to test myself to know that I don't need to eat this." And I stare at it until it starts to look gross and throw it away. Textbooks need to be written about this woman. That is so insane.
That is nut.
One time my classroom assistant walked by her after getting a couple slices of pizza on a plate and looked horrified, not hiding her face from me or my assistant. Another time she mentioned that she didn't have air conditioning in her car. I asked if she would ever get it fixed since we live in a state where temps were still in the hundreds. She said, "No, I keep the windows up and sweat until I'm home to test my endurance." She needs to go on The Amazing Race.
Why? What is she training for?
Like, does she do Burning Man? I feel like she does Burning Man. Like, I don't know why, but that's what this is radiating to me. She's not Coachella. She's Burning Man. She's like, you know the movie? What's that boy movie where they all fight? Fight Club?
Fight Club, yeah.
That's her. She's the Fight Club guy.
That's nuts. Okay. This is long.
There's more, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So imagine having Debbie as your coworker in the back of the school where you were separated from every other class and only had our self-contained classrooms and it being my first year teaching. I tried to sit down with her and learn more about the returning students that would now be on my caseload before the first day of school. She gave me almost no information, saying she didn't want me to have preconceived ideas about the students. I can understand that to an extent, but what she failed to mention is that there was one student who on the first day ran out of the classroom and screamed in the hallways, only to run up to the front office with me running behind trying to catch up to flip off the principal and vice principals while screaming, "Fuck all of you." Yeah, a heads up would have been cool. While I came in, seeing the looks of everyone in the office, I instantly burst into tears. Later, Debbie was going through the list of all the things I did wrong, including saying the student's name into a walkie-talkie, while I was in full panic mode asking for help, not knowing if he would run outside of the school into busy traffic. My entire year was spent clearing my whole classroom out of the room to handle the violent behavior of the student while she never stepped in, knowing that the student listened and trusted her more and would stop the behavior almost immediately. She would say things like, "You aren't meeting his needs, and he said your class was really boring, so make it more fun." By the end of the year, the computers had to be taken out of the classroom because he would destroy them. I couldn't have any decorations on my wall or it would be torn down, and I was slowly losing my will to teach and to be a functioning human being. Most days after school, I would commute an hour home and just drive in silence after suffering the abuse of that student and Debbie. Now, 6 years later, as a resource room teacher with incredible, helpful coworkers, I can tell Debbie stories and laugh, but I will never forget this woman whose hands would turn orange from eating so many carrots in a day.
That has to be an insane amount of carrots, because when I was pregnant with W, was eating so many carrots. I was eating bags of baby carrots. Debbie had to be next level.
Staring at the pizza till it looks gross, like, I'm unfortunately gonna write that down.
Why did she say it out loud, maybe though? Like, she could have kept that to herself.
No, that's what I love, is that, like, either she thinks that this is normal or she has no shame at all. And I love people with no shame. They're my favorite types of people because they give me so much confidence because I'm like, oh my God, no, you're right. Why would I care?
Right.
And they're like, exactly. What? And I'm like, exactly. Debbie's like, be out and proud with your eating disorder. Who gives a fuck? They should know you're suffering.
Oh my God. I've never suffered in silence. I don't know what that's like.
Debbie was like, I'm fucked up. I have food shit. I don't need salt. Fucking let's lay it out on the table. I cheated on my husband once, never told him.
Like, you know she's crazy at the holiday party. Give us Debbie at the holiday party, guys.
But I feel like Debbie doesn't drink alcohol. I feel like Debbie, like, because a lot of people that are, like, very calorie restrictive, they think, like, alcohol is, like, empty calories. Either Debbie doesn't drink alcohol. Oh, no, I know how Debbie drinks. I know how Debbie drinks. Debbie drinks Everclear straight because it's the least amount of calories. And she, like, looks like she would think that way.
You know what I could see Debbie doing if she didn't drink? Is taking advantage of people's inhibitions being lowered so that she's like getting people to tell her secrets. Like she's stone cold sober, letting her freak flag fly. And then she's sitting at the table going around being like, and tell me about your affair.
She's like, so let's get into it. I saw you talking on the phone strangely.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Because you know when you see a coworker on the phone and you're like, ooh, that's not normal.
Oh, yeah.
No, like when you see someone like outside. On the phone, you're like, what's going on there?
Uh-huh, 100%.
I have, like, a window to a courtyard, so sometimes I'll see other teachers step into the courtyard and, like, look stressed on the phone, and I'm like, I kind of want to open my window and be like, you okay, King?
Yeah,
how's it going?
Yeah, tell me. Can I come in my room? I have treats.
Is it your doctor?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. This reminded me of more things that I didn't like about my principal that I'm going to talk about.
As parents and teachers, we all want to set our children up for success. Maybe your child is struggling with a specific subject, or your students needed a little extra help with homework, or maybe they're asking questions that you're just not sure how to answer. And, you know, if your child is ahead and not getting challenged enough in class, IXL can be the perfect tool for them too. Yes, IXL, you know her, you love her. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language, arts, science, and social studies, and it's designed to help students understand and master topics in a fun, engaging way, and it offers positive feedback along the way. As a teacher, I saw firsthand how IXL can make a difference. Whether a student is struggling with a specific topic or trying to keep up with their class or even aiming to get ahead. And for a lot of parents, one of the most helpful features is the tailored approach IXL takes with every single child. IXL is powered by advanced algorithms that give the right kind of help no matter the student's age or personality. And with just one subscription, you get access to everything. So it's perfect for a household with kids from pre-K to 12th grade. It saves time and money. And a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL, so it's always worth a shot. Studies have shown that kids who use IXL consistently score higher on tests, and IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the United States, so 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are already learning with IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off of IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
She also was the same principal that said if we would make our classrooms more inviting and friendly and exciting places that our students, our kindergarten students, would get themselves to school because they would be like telling their parents like, hey, take me to school. I gotta go. It's so fun in there. Like, come on.
I wonder, like, this is, I would say, my biggest issue in education is, like, I genuinely can't tell when other people are bullshitting me. So when administrators say these things, I, like, can't tell if they mean it or not, or if they're just saying it because they don't know what to say. So I start to go crazy because I'm like, do they think that? I'm like, does that person, like, actually believe that? So I'm like, oh my God, they really believe that. Because I don't lie to people, like, not even on, like, a moral stance, because I will lie for, like, a reason. But just, like, in practice, I don't think to sugarcoat or bullshit people. Like, I'm just very direct. So I expect everyone to be the same. So when administrators say things like that, I'm like, are you, like, okay? Like, why do you think that?
Oh my goodness gracious. Before this person says, before I started at this school, an older teacher was in charge of school security as well. One day for a security drill, she had actors come, unbeknownst to anyone else, and start shooting airsoft BB guns dressed in masks. Heard it traumatized a whole cohort of new teachers that left.
Oh my God. Like when she said actors, I thought it was like going to be something that you shouldn't do, but like wasn't that bad. Like I thought it was going to be like they pretended to break in. And then when they got in, they were like, just kidding. Like I thought it, they came in and shot a gun. What is happening to the world?
I'm so sorry that that happened. But yeah, I could see the new teachers being like, you know what?
Let me get up out of here. I've seen what I needed to see.
Because you know that if that older teacher was that fucking insane, that is not the only story those teachers had from that school year. They probably submitted here somewhere else.
If that was like a, if that school had a culture where like that person did that, there has to be other things going wrong as well.
100%.
Because like the normal thought of like, oh, I want to bring someone to this school. Like I have my mom volunteers in my classroom sometimes. So when I was like, oh, I want to bring a random grown up, what I did was asked an administrator, do you need like to talk to someone? Is there a form? Like that's the way a rational person approaches that. So for you to be like, what if think secret shopper, but a school shooting?
This one says, not the most exciting, but at my first campus as a first year teacher, 3 out of 7 teachers had been on the team for ages. Sorry, I read that wrong. 3 out of 7 teachers had been on the team for ages. One of our grade level was a man and the only one with tag, talented and gifted students. He almost always was off doing his own thing. The other two experienced team members seemed to just roll their eyes and think it was typical if he skipped any PLCs or team meetings early.
I need to get like him for real.
I'm telling you, that was what I was just going to say.
I need to take a play from my man's book.
Like, so if you could care less and just not go to PLCs, what are they going to do?
My anxiety is telling me that they'll put a photo of me on a projector and shame me publicly because that's literally happened. But my logic brain is telling me not much.
Oh my God, she has been to therapy, you guys.
It's so fucking expensive. Like, I'm horrible. I feel like I should get paid.
I know.
Because you're welcome. Like, I could just be a bitch to all of you and be fine. But out of the kindness of my fucking heart, I decided to deal with it. You're fucking welcome. So pay me.
Exactly. If you're grateful that Redacted's in therapy, leave a 5-star review and Venmo her $200. Gosh, okay, I'll read one more because you read a bunch in a row. It says, I taught at a high school for 6 years before I quit. During that time, I went to and contributed money toward food and gifts for a multitude of coworkers' wedding showers, baby showers, retirement dinners, etc. A couple of coworkers even had a wedding shower and 2 baby showers, one for each kid. Oh my gosh. Scandal. Are you in the South? This one says, my department even had a small party complete with sit-down meal and gifts for the student teacher who graduated and was going to start teaching at our school the next year. Oh my God, imagine being that student teacher. You think you're hot shit. Hopefully it wasn't a man, because usually they do that shit for male teachers. Hopefully it was like a dynamite little bitch of a woman who's just ready to rock and roll, gonna get rookie of the year next year. Oh my God, because that would be so cute. My head would be so big you couldn't tell me anything. If I was a student teacher and somebody had a sit down fucking dinner and hired me next year. Oh Jesus. Okay. My last year at that school, one of the teachers in my department was pregnant with her second child, ended up being twins, and of course she had a full baby shower. Clearly there's a culture of celebration at this
school. What kind of budget are y'all working with?
I would be like, if you're asking, yeah. after 5 years of trying, I finally got pregnant during that school year, and I was due 4 months after the other pregnant teacher in my department. However, I'm excited for you, but I am afraid that this story is about to make a sad turn. It says, I told my department that I was going to stay home with my child and wouldn't be returning after I completed the school year. I was due a month after school ended. As the year drew to a close, I kept thinking that someone would ask where I would want to have a baby shower or what food I would want catered or if I would prefer to have it at the school. Nothing.
That's so mean.
It gets worse.
Oh, no.
I was a little disappointed because I have food allergies, but I've been learning to bring food to any gathering, so I shrugged it off. I'm too emotional. I think I'm going to start crying about this. Why am I going to cry? On the last day of school, I thought they were going for a surprise party thing and nothing. My two friends took me out to lunch and no one else even came. Then my baby shower consisted of my two friends, the department chair, and one other teacher taking me to the department chair's classroom and giving me the high chair I had registered for. It's not that I didn't appreciate it. It's just that I had worked with around 100 people at that school, and every shower before or after mine consisted of a minimum of refreshments, at least a couple dozen people in attendance, and either a dozen or so gifts or a couple big ticket items and a smattering of small personal gifts. I still have no desire to return to that school, and I've been gone for nearly a decade.
That is so fucking sad. And they definitely did it as like a jab because you said you weren't coming back. And that's what's so gross to me is like how manipulative, like not only is that sad for you, it also soured every other baby shower that they threw in my eyes, because like y'all did that as like a bribe and a control and a manipulation tactic. Y'all didn't do it like out of the kindness of your hearts, because if you did it to be kind, you would have done it to this person because they literally still work here. I would get it if it was like, oh, I was having really bad morning sickness, so instead of finishing the year, I left early, so I never got my baby shower. And it was like some kind of weird circumstance, but like she literally finished the whole year.
Yeah, that is so, so hurtful. It's insane. Because I don't care what I think about a coworker, because we had a sunshine committee. I've always been on the sunshine committee, and it's always been called that. I don't know why, but
a lot of places at mine is the sunshine committee.
Yeah, and it does not matter what you think of the coworker at all. Like, it could be the worst person in the world, which I know you are not, submitter. I'm just saying, like, there is no reason to ever do that. I hate everyone at that school. If you work at that school and that story sounds familiar, I personally hate you. The end.
You should have, like, stolen their credit cards and gone to the club. Like,
can we can still do that. The day ain't over yet.
We ride at dawn.
Let's go. Oh, okay. Do you want me to read another one or do you want to read it?
You read another one because I read a couple.
At my last campus, the amount of teachers, usually male, that would just abandon their kids to go make copies and chill in the lounge was wild. I had first period conference and I was always waiting to make copies behind men making packets for their nearby classes of freshmen. Sometimes for 20 to 30 minutes, I wrote a narc email. Good. I wrote a narc email. My anxiety and non-confrontational ass took an entire day to draft one to an AP and didn't even get a response. One of the many reasons I quit. Also, I was a team lead and one teacher on my team would fall asleep during our planning meetings. There's only four of us, bestie. We're gonna notice. Or literally open up TikTok while going through a lesson I plan for us. Okay, but girl, whose TikToks were they watching? Who was it? Tell us everything. Oh my God.
They're probably watching like thirst traps. Like 100%. the gym girl thirst traps.
Yes, yes.
And he has it like full brightness, full volume.
Uh-huh. Like, the volume is up. Can you please get like that? Why don't you try sleeping? Take some melatonin before your meetings. It's so awful.
No, literally today, like I'm so gonna get fired. I was literally, my department head had to wave in front of my face to get my attention because I was locked the fuck in. Like I had the biggest stack of papers to grade, a fury in my eye, and my phone with season 6 of Below Deck on, and like I was moving. I graded, like, how much did I grade today? I graded 60 packets, 60 projects, and 60 little fill in the blank things.
Okay, look at that.
So I was like, I am speed. Mm-hmm. Like, and she literally had to like wave in front of my eyes and was like, do you still want printer ink? And I was like, yep, yes I do. Yes, yes I do. Still want the printer ink. I was like, Captain Lee is upset. Not right now. I'm going to read this short one. I work in a library, but I have a coworker who will just leave what they're meant to be doing. They'll leave the desk where we're helping people and go to different areas and leave people with lines of 5+. If they do stay at our desk, they will ignore people unless they are directly spoken to, or they will clean donations that are likely to be recycled because of condition. I love people who hate working. People that just refuse to work are absolutely incredible.
Okay, here we go. Wait. I've only ever truly had beef, because sometimes drama is just drama, with one coworker. Okay, but I like drama. Anyways, continue. At the time, I worked in a very small preschool. She was borderline crazy with some of the kids and constantly found herself in power struggles with literal toddlers. Who would do that?
Not me. I have never done that before.
Not me in my own house. That's crazy.
Who could argue with a toddler? Not me, for sure.
Very sophisticated. Okay. Anyway, this... Okay, I wouldn't do this, though. And you wouldn't either. It says, at one point, a kid was playing with Legos, quote, incorrectly, and she threw it on the ground so hard, it exploded, and pieces flew all around the room, hitting other children. There are power struggles, and then there's, like, insanity. Can you hear her screaming, Mom?
Yeah!
Go watch television!
Do you know how many children would kill for this?
Okay. The only time I've ever, quote, overstepped to another teacher / caretaker was the time she had a student that wasn't even her own backed into a corner rocking and crying. Oh, you submitted this. We read this one. Okay, I'll keep reading and you'll know. It was an old student of mine that I walked up to, grabbed his hand, and took him out of the room. She tried to stop me. Oh, no, we didn't read this one. You know the one I'm thinking of? Do you remember the kid that got backed into a corner in the stairwell? Somebody's
yes.
crazy-ass principal? Yeah, also
yes.
hated that person. This person, though, said that they took her old student out of the room, and the teacher tried to stop her, and she did the talk to the hand motion towards her. And she says, because if I used my words, I knew I couldn't control what words would come out. Honestly, so valid. I cannot imagine if somebody had my baby backed into a corner screaming at them. I would be in the news. I really would.
I would be in history textbooks.
Okay, you win. You love your kids more than me.
No, I came up with that line the other day, not to take it to a heavy place, but my boyfriend was saying, he was like, if I was a woman that was pregnant during election season, I would be so afraid, just because like things are like so much could happen like at a moment's notice. Like if you were pregnant right now, that would just be so jarring. And he was saying like how if like A, for obvious health reasons, and B, because then, like, if something happened to you, everyone would want to put you on the news. Like, campaigns would try and, like, exploit you for whatever reason. And what I told him, I said, they wouldn't have to put me on the news. I would be in history textbooks for what I would do if I was in that situation. Like, if I needed that care and I couldn't get it, they would be learning about me in classrooms for how insane I would act. I would create a biohazard in the halls of Congress and traumatize every Congress member to the point that they could never function again. The things that they would see me do.
I'm so down with it. I actually think that's where like society is going to go. Like things are just going to have to get so extreme before people start listening. But yeah.
If you watch Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. like I would make the female villains on that show look tame.
You would be like incredible. I would study you just because legend. Like my children would tell your stories. It would be passed down oral history style.
Oh my God. Do you want me to read another hate? You're right. We did have a lot on the Patreon.
They are mad. The people are mad. Yeah, go ahead.
I worked at a daycare center and had a coworker screenshot a post that I made in the local neighborhood Facebook group about being available to babysit, and she sent it to my director. The rest of my day, my boss was walking around telling everyone she wanted to fire me. I found out, packed up my classroom, and left. I had already put in my 2 weeks' notice, but couldn't even finish it off. Why do you care if your employee is babysitting in their town?
That is some small town bullshit.
I literally can't imagine my boss even taking note of that. They would be like, that's good for you. Good.
I'm so glad that you literally packed your room up and you were like, actually, fuck this, goodbye. Like, that person has made an environment so toxic that you can't even put in your 2 weeks notice and like move on. Like,
and even if you weren't quitting, is babysitting not normal? Like, is that not a very average thing people do in their communities for extra money?
Right. And it's not like you were doing it at your school, because the only thing I've ever heard is that you can't babysit kids that you teach, which totally get that. But like, this was a
Facebook
group.
I would get it if you had put like your number on the school bulletin board in the front office. But it's literally, you said it was a neighborhood Facebook group. So like, yeah, there's a chance someone at school is in it. But like you said, you could just be like, sorry, I'm not supposed to babysit people from our center.
Yeah, like, it sounds like your boss was just being rude.
Yeah. It's because no one wants to hire her as a babysitter. Maybe she had a failed babysitting business and she's taking it out on you.
It sounds like she made that daycare center like her entire personality, and she just took it so seriously that you didn't want to work there and was acting crazy. Like, that's what that sounds like to me.
Oh my God, this one's really bad. It's short. I had a coworker who showcased my dad's mugshots around to other teachers. I was 22 and this woman was around 50. We teach in an area that roughly half the students have an incarcerated family member. She treated me horribly. I'm sad to say she's still at the school. Not only being horrible to coworkers, but also to the children. It's been about a year since that happened. I don't teach at that school anymore and found another district I love with no horrid coworkers yet. The yet is important.
What the fuck?
That's so, like, if it was yours, I would get it, maybe. But it's your dad's. Like, that's so just, like, mean and embarrassing. Like, as if you haven't suffered enough. Like, for your dad to have multiple mugshots, I'm guessing you've seen some shit. Like, I'm guessing some not chill stuff has happened in your life. I'm just gonna assume. Normally, I don't like to make assumptions about people's past, but that's what it's kind of radiating. So for you as a grown woman to be like, oh, it seems like she has some issues with her dad. What if I told literally everyone I could possibly think of and showed them proof?
I just feel like some people never grew up.
I think they need time on the outside. Like, we need to go make them work at, like, an Applebee's.
Yeah, like, that shit would definitely not fly at an Applebee's.
Because, like, I think if you've only ever been at schools have a very different type of way of managing their staff, where they're very passive and non-direct. Like, schools, if someone does something, they don't address it with that person. Now we all go to a training and we're not going to call them out because we're so used to being, like, kid friendly, I feel, is where that comes from. So you need to work in an environment where someone will literally look at you and be like, fuck you, keep my name out of your fucking mouth, and we can work together, but shut your fucking mouth about me. And, like, that will never happen at a school. And someone who's like that needs that to happen to them. They need to have someone call them out as mean and directly as possible, because that's the only way that you learn. And same things with, like, low performance. Like, I feel like in education, if there's low performance, now we all do our planning together. Now we're all going to go to a training because a couple people aren't doing their job. And in a lot of other industries, like, you will literally get publicly shamed and ridiculed by your coworkers. Like, I have been in meetings where people will literally, I'm just making up a name, but people will literally be like, Sandra didn't do the deck and now the client is pissed. And that just doesn't happen in education meetings. It just doesn't. I don't know why we need it to.
I think people turn to passive aggressiveness, though, and it's, like, almost worse.
Yeah, I think it's a lot worse because it feels, like, very fake.
Well, it is fake, because what they actually want to say is, fuck you, do your job. But they say it in the ways that are so roundabout.
Yeah. We should be in charge of literally everything.
I know. Why are we so great at this?
I don't know. I don't know how we do it, but we just do it every time.
Every time we nail it.
I love hating. I know that we're not supposed to do it and it, like, statistically and medically is bad for you, but I feel better after I do it. Is that maybe just, like, my cross to bear?
It's human nature. It's from our hunter-gatherer time.
The hunter-gatherer time. Feels like it is. Thank you for being a part of the Teacher Quit Talk community. We love you. We're laughing with you. We're hating with you. And we'll be here every week till the rest of our lives.
Bye-bye, Pookies.
Do Just as a disclaimer, because I am someone who is actively teaching, everything on this podcast is my personal opinion and does not reflect my district, my state, my employer, my students, or my admin. Everything on this podcast was recorded on personal time, on personal equipment, and is a completely separate endeavor from my school district.
Yeah, leave her alone.